This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. A Cleveland, Ohio branch of Starbucks has just become the 200th store in the corporate coffee chain to vote to join the newly formed independent union, Starbucks Workers United. The stunning speed at which Starbucks cafes have unionized over the past year has caught many off guard, including Starbucks corporate executives, who now appear to be retaliating against labor organizers. The company, citing safety issues, has announced the closure of several of its stores, and workers are reporting their hours are being cut as part of a campaign of union busting. In response, several Starbucks cafes have recently launched short 1 to 3 day strikes. We turn now to two folks from Starbucks. Evan Sunshine is a college student and a 2.5 year partner at Starbucks who worked as a barista at the College Avenue location in Ithaca that closed its doors permanently this past June. He specializes in collective bargaining within the union and has been bargaining sessions with Starbucks as a lead negotiator for the past month. Also joining me is Michael Sanabria, a nearly 5-year partner who works at the Transit Commons Starbucks location in East Amherst that just ended their 3-day strike. He is the lead organizer of his store and a member of the first organizing committee that launched the union campaign in August 2021. Welcome to the program, Michael and Evan.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Evan, let me start with you. So your store was shut down. This is in Ithaca, New York. Why do you think this happened?
So I do know why this happened, and it's for the same reason that, a lot of stores all across the country right now are going on strike. Well, our store was one of those stores that went on strike this past April. I think it was April 18th, it was April 22nd, which was only a few days after we got certified. We have this above ground grease trap in our back room. We don't use grease at Starbucks, but we have an above ground grease trap that wasn't maintained for like 15 years, and it kind of overflowed, leaving old grease and maggots everywhere. And management expected us to clean it up, which is an OSHA violation. So my coworkers walked out and went on an impromptu strike, and we were on strike for 7 hours before they met our demands, which was to fix the grease trap and to clean up all the grease. And we believe that, you know, they cite that the closing of the store is a facilities issue. We believe that the reason we went on strike, the grease trap, is that they wouldn't have closed our store if we didn't go on strike over the issue.
Now, what about the fact that you are seeing in some stores hours being cut? Is that something that's relatively uncommon, that hours are being cut? Is there a way to tell that store closures and the hours being cut are directly in response to the labor organizing? Or can the company get away with saying that this is just coincidence?
So in my almost 5 years, there have been different points throughout business throughout the year where there was like some hours cuts, like January, February. They're usually slower seasons, so there's a little bit of hours cuts, but it's never been so drastic as it has been lately. Like at my store, typically we would, on busy days, we'd have something like 11 to 12 people. During the busiest couple of hours, we're getting 5, 6, 7. And that only started after the union campaign launched. I guess it's not we don't have actual word that, but 1 + 1 = 2. You see the steps that lead to that.
Evan, the company executives sent a letter explaining the store closures, and they said, "We want you to know that creating a safe, welcoming, and kind place is our top priority, and we cannot serve as partners if we don't feel safe at work." The company listed all of the safety trainings for all its partners, and made all of these gestures towards ensuring a safe space and a kind treatment, safety for the environment, welcoming stores, etc. All of this sounds like the company is interested in or cares about its workers, but do you think that this is disingenuous and hypocritical? I mean, this is just the company pretending that it actually cares about workers?
I think that what the company is saying is far from the truth of the matter. I think that the company does not care about its workers in the way that it says it does. I think that it cares about us making them profits and that they can't generate a profit if we're going on strike. And so I do think that a lot of the ones that they closed, especially the union stores, like my store, College Avenue, and then this letter that they just released was in reference to the two union stores in Seattle that they closed, along with three other non-union stores. But the two union stores in Seattle, just like College Avenue, were incredibly outspoken union stores who have went on strike before and put up a big fight in order to get Starbucks to recognize our union, similar to us. And so we have a lot of camaraderie between the two stores. And what I can say is that Starbucks claims that, you know, they want us to have the best partner experience possible. They call us partners to try to act like we have any sort of say in the company, which we do not. They don't treat us with any respect. And, you know, at the end of the day, it really just comes down to, are we making the money or are we going on strike to get some respect around here?
Michael, let me ask you, what is the current situation with the contract negotiations? I mentioned, 200 stores have unionized, more continue to add to that tally every day. Is Starbucks required to come to the negotiating table to bargain with each store individually, or is Starbucks Workers United waiting for enough stores around the country to be done with elections before contract negotiations begin?
So the way that we've done this by unionizing each store individually, as far as the law is concerned, Starbucks does have to come and meet at each store individually at the negotiating table. And they have met with a couple of stores to negotiate. They haven't really allowed any ground to be gained at the couple of bargaining sessions that they have had with some. I know a lot of the stores that have unionized and have sent requests to the company to set up dates to bargain have not even been met with a response. They don't know if the company has even like read the response or read their request to negotiate or anything.
Recently, Starbucks put out a bunch of letters, you know, kind of a standard letter to all the stores basically saying, we're not going to respond to your information request, but we will bargain with you. So put out some dates. But it became it was very coordinated to like over 100 stores. I think, Michael, you could probably clarify me on that. And, the thing is, you know, we want to sort of sit, you know, coordinate our own response to that and make sure that we as a union are being together with our bargaining, with the way that we are going about this. So, you know, it's taking a while. And so like the process with bargaining is a little bit slow right now, but we are hoping to come to an agreement as soon as it is possible. So at each store that we, you know,
right,
unionized.
So they are, they have announced the closure of 16 stores in major metropolitan areas, and all of those stores, it is citing so-called safety concerns. And, you know, it's not a huge percentage of stores yet that have unionized, right? And maybe the two of you can give me a sense of where the unionizing is going with more than 200 stores voting to join the union. Is the company looking at what, half its stores being unionized or a third? How far along has the unionizing gone to warrant such measures from the company, Michael?
So we're actually like a very small, there's something close to 8,500 to 9,000 corporately owned stores across the U.S.
Oh, wow.
So 200 is a simple math off the top of my head, less than like 0.5% or less percent. So that's still a small amount by number. But I think the reason that they want to, or that they are reacting like this, is because of how the company has set itself up to be portrayed in the public. They tout all these progressive values and how well they treat their employees, like on social media and stuff. And so any kind of negative press, even if it is from such a very small percentage, they want to avoid as much as they can. They're not really able to, because we've been using things like social media and reaching out to our customers that we see all the time every day to get the word out and to get them to spread the word. So I think that is why that is why they're warranting such a like knee-jerk reaction in response to even such a small portion of it.
Now, the strikes that have been taking place in stores around the country. You mentioned that your store had been on strike earlier this year. These are sometimes one-day strikes. Sometimes I know that Michael's store had a three-day strike. How has Starbucks responded to that? Is Starbucks, can it actually simply fire workers for going on strike? Because if you're not already protected by a union, you might be an at-will employee. However, if you're fired in response to striking over unionizing, I believe that the National Labor Relations Board can protect your position. So give me a sense of the retaliatory nature of what Starbucks is engaging in and whether or not it can be held accountable for basically people like you losing your job because of the store closures.
Well, I could say with the most recent strikes, Starbucks has been a little silent about what's been going on. I guess they're trying to formulate some sort of calculated response. But in terms of strikes in the past, my store went on strike, as well as 505 Union in Seattle have been on strikes before, and they decided to close their store. And as I said, I do believe that our going on strike was a reason behind it. So it was a retaliatory measure to close our store. I guess the reverse could happen, where there was a retaliatory measure against the union and then partners went on strike in response. That happened in Pittsburgh with the firing of two beloved organizers, Tori and Kim. For other retaliatory measures against partners, like putting in interim managers and cutting hours, things like that, which is why they are on an indefinite strike in Boston.
So can you complain to the National Labor Relations Board about these actions? Union organizing is a protected activity, right?
As far as I'm aware, because union organizing is a protected activity, even if like a store goes on strike and they aren't unionized yet, they can bring that up with the National Labor Relations Board as unfair labor practices in retaliation for even talking about unionizing on the job.
Tom, go ahead, Evan.
Sorry, I was gonna say, I think the only like caveat of that is that Starbucks has the strategy where they just take the scorched earth method, knowing that they will eventually get in trouble with the NLRB, but then in this short amount of time, they can get away with fear-mongering towards non-union stores for a few months to get them to not organize. So that's kind of their response right now, is that we don't care what the NLRB is going to eventually rule. Right now, we're making things happen. So that's what...
Which is a very common union-busting tactic among companies. And so if people worry that they might be fired or their entire store closed, meaning everyone gets fired, they're less likely to unionize. Meanwhile, even if Starbucks gets penalized months later, it has succeeded in scaring enough workers away from organizing. But how strong is the union? How much interest is there among workers? Give me a sense of, because you're using social media, because there is this connection between partners, as employees are called, is there a strong desire among workers around the country at these thousands of stores to join in the unionizing, or is it petering out?
I think right now there still is a very strong interest, at least, both in unionizing or seeing what's going to happen. I don't think it's petering out. It has slowed down a little bit. What, 8 or 9 months ago, there was not a single unionized store. And now we have just crossed the threshold of 200. After seeing what the company has done to some of the stores, like the closures, there's been union leaders at stores that are fired all around the country. I think some of them now are successfully like scared away from actually doing action in their store until they see the outcome of things at stores that have unionized, or like right now, the National Labor Relations Board is prosecuting Starbucks over a bunch of like hundreds of unfair labor practice charges. So I think there's also a lot of the stores are like holding their breath to see the outcome of that. And hopefully that will help, the outcomes will help instill confidence in them to follow in our footsteps and join us.
Right. I understand that Starbucks has attempted to say things like they want to increase benefits and improve wages and working conditions for workers if they don't join a union. But of course, even saying that is I understand, technically illegal. Pledge. Can you tell me more about that?
Yes. So the no contract, no coffee pledge, basically what we're saying is that if Starbucks does not sit down with us at the bargaining table and come to an agreement with us, then we're simply not going to give them the labor that they want so badly from us. Whether that means that we're picketing, going on strike, or demanding some other sort of collective action. It means that, you know, us as a union, as a community, are going to band together with the help of non-workers that are in each community that a store is located, you know, come together to effectively tell Starbucks that, you know, we're not going to entertain your union busting. So we want members of the community to sign this pledge to be able to gather support for eventual future actions that may involve the community.
And that website is sbworkersunited.org. Evan, your store was closed. What will happen to you now? What is the future of you and your fellow workers at that store who are working there?
So we have been in effect bargaining with Starbucks for over 6 weeks now. And it has been proven unfruitful. However, today, Seattle, the 505 Union store in Seattle, came to a tentative agreement with Starbucks, in its bargaining session over the effects of their closure. So that does set a precedent that allows us to, advance in our bargaining, which is very helpful. So hopefully we'll come to an agreement soon as well.
And Michael, what about your store where you just finished a 3-day strike? Give me a sense of what you hope to accomplish, or whether you think that strike accomplished what it set out to do.
My store did just freshly unionize as well, like 2 weeks ago. Our hope with the strike is just to kind of get a response from upper management. We have not heard from our district manager. Multiple people have sent emails, phone calls, text messages, and haven't gotten a response about anything. We're asking even just for things like, what are you guys doing for like short staffing? And like going forward, we will also be like requesting, sending out messages to request like bargaining sessions, coordinating that and stuff. And hopefully seeing that we already are willing to go on strike even this early after unionizing, we'll let them know that we're not going to stand. We're not going to stand for the stalling that they've been doing all around the country, and the unresponsiveness that they have been doing to some of the locations.
Well, I want to wish the two of you best of luck with your work, and we'll certainly continue to follow this story. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you.
My guests have been Evan Sunshine, who worked as a barista at the College Avenue location in Ithaca, New York, that was closed in June. He's been a lead union org negotiator with Starbucks Workers United. Also, Michael Sanabria, who works at the Transit Common Starbucks in East Amherst, that just ended a 3-day strike, and he's the lead organizer at his store. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. You can access this and other interviews on our website, risingupwithsonali.com, by becoming a subscriber. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.